Hi, everyone that is joining us tonight. We're so glad you're here. I have something special to share with you tonight that the Lord laid on my heart, I don't know, maybe 2 hours ago. I trust it will be a blessing to you. I trust that it will help further establish your walk with Him, as this is really what He wants to do. He's not just looking to increase our faith, secure our faith for intercession, but He also wants to give to us an understanding and a steadfastness in our relationship with Him. He wants us to understand the great love that it took for Him to do what He did. It's an amazing thing when you think about God deciding to create planet Earth, knowing that the day would come that the only way He could have His human family would be through the death, tragic, severe, brutal death of His Son. What an all-wise God. What a wisdom, what a love. What a compelling love it must have taken Him. Well, maybe I can even discuss that with you tonight. I don't know. We don't have, we're going to try to keep the teaching down to a half an hour so that we don't have to lose anything in prayer in order to be able to teach you these things from the Father's heart to help you walk with Him the way He wants to walk with you. So if you'll turn in your Bibles to Hebrews 10, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture that starts with verse 19. That is, if I can do it without crying. If I can, I may ask John to read it for us. But this is a beautiful passage. And if you know and understand the truths that are being offered to us right here in the book of Hebrews, if you understand these things in your heart and in your mind, in your spirit and in your soul, it will give you a walk with our loving Father that few have in the earth. I want to say to you, before we go where I'm hoping He'll let us go, we talk a lot about character building. At least I do, when I minister in the Word. And the reason for this is if you want to be a high intercessor, an intercessor that could be equated to the likes of Moses or Elijah or Elisha or John the Beloved or Paul, if it would be to your liking to enter into a place where God would be willing to tell you anything and give you the grace and the authority to pray for anything that is in the deeper reaches of His heart, you've got to be a person of character. You can't just pray And people would love it if you could. And of course, I understand that. But you can't just pray what you may think to be a very spiritual prayer to win favors with God, because prayer is all about God. It really has little to do with you, and it has everything to do with Him. So prayer is only part of the whole walk of a true intercessor. The major part is our character. Do we have problems with the Ten Commandments? Do we have problems with lying, with sexual issues, with greed, covetousness, or maybe just simply not putting God first in your heart at all times? The Ten Commandments is a very short list, but it's really a pretty complete list from which all the other issues draw. If our hearts spring from faith to faith, and they spring from faith to faith because of the love of God, the love of truth, the love of His principles, then we're probably going to be used by Him in special ways in the area of intercession, or be allowed to touch Him regularly in these wonderful areas of fellowship and communion with God. If we can learn just how important character is in the life of prayer, and if we love God with all of our mind, heart, soul, and strength, then we're going to apply what we know to become one likened unto the Son of God. Of course, He has to do that work, but we have to do our share. The Bible clearly explains to us that it must be something that comes to being through a double yoking of ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to talk to you tonight for just a few minutes about this important area and invite you to meditate on this week and ask God to show you if there are places that you need to improve. Part of it will be your doing, part of it will be inviting Him to do what only He can do, to eradicate your soul of the love of sin and to impart the glory of the Son in you or in me. So I may do a few nights of this kind of teaching, but I feel pretty confident that He's going to let us get through this first part at any rate. So join with me. Verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath constructed for us, or consecrated for us, well, kind of constructed too, through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from every evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. So going back to verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness in the cistern too, having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Please let me share with you just a few experiences that I've had along the way regarding this passage. I want it to become so clear to you, so real to you, if you can bear it, that it will give you a greater consciousness of the price that he paid to make you a pure and holy bride unto himself, so that you will desire more than the things of the world, whether it be acclaim, material things, even spiritual experiences. I don't run around pleading for spiritual experiences. If I feel that I need something that is a little higher than norm for an understanding, I may ask him to give it to me in a way that my spirit can drink it, that my soul will receive it, that my mind and heart can comprehend it. But I don't live for the experience. I live for knowing Christ. I live to know him and to love him. Quite frankly, I don't think you can love him the way he is willing to help you love him, to even give his own love for the Godhead. I don't think you can live there without knowing him, because knowing him is what eternal life is. So if we take out the highest part, well, we may have eternal life, but we're not going to have anywhere near what he's willing to give us in this life. And for myself, I'm very, very thankful. I feel so deeply, overwhelmingly thankful for every little tiny morsel he will give me. So what I'm going to share with you here in a minute or so, I'm not sharing out of a heart of pride or to be a braggart before you. He gives me these things and he tells me to share them with you because he wants you to know, number one, there are levels of understanding the word. And you'll find whatever's in the old covenant is further explained in the new covenant. And then on top of that are greater levels of understanding the word. And then secondly, the more we understand the Bible, the safer we are in spiritual experiences. If we don't know the word, we can get ourselves into trouble. So we really don't want to go there. So make the word a very important part of your spiritual growth. But he has given us, according to verse 19, the boldness to enter into the holiest place of all, the Holy of Holies, through the blood of Jesus Christ. Why is this so important? Why did the Lord give Israel the understanding of his desire for the rituals to take place, where there was a constant outpouring of animal blood, where there was a sanctifying taking place? And then all of a sudden, through his son, he like puts the sword right down in the middle of the yoke and says, no more, we're doing it a new way, a better way, because it's a living way. It's not dead animals anymore. It is the life that is in the blood of my son that is going to make a better way for you to be consecrated to me in a much deeper way, even unto adult sonship. God is a God of life. He's a God of love. He's a God of life. He's a God of light. He is spirit. He wants to share fellowship and communion with you by way of the spirit. And so he's constantly wanting to reveal these intimate truths that will help us grow so that we can experience him in the greatest, most wonderful ways of the Spirit. When we get home to heaven, it won't be new. It will be something you have lived in and lived through many times here on this earth. That would please him very much. By the blood of Jesus, the living blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. This is not about us. We keep wanting to make it that way, but it's not about us. This is about the sacrifice that our Father made of his Son to purchase us off the slave market of sin. This is about the love of God for his creation. This is about knowing that he knows how to fix the mess we made. And he knows how to fix it so perfectly that we can still have the highest that he ever could ordain for a human being to experience. And it starts by taking us onto a living path by the power of the living blood of his son. And let me say one more thing about this living path. As you look at this word in the Greek, this prophantos is the actual word. It is speaking of a way of light, the way of life. But it's not just walking down the path of someone else's life. It is about walking down the path of light, producing in us life that expands us in the light until we are wholly born again in the light. We become children of the light, as Paul said. And in this light, we are taught to see all things through the knowledge of God. Not just another thought or another way or another interpretation or implication of man, but to open your eyes and to give you vision you cannot create in yourself. And in this vision, see the light and the life of man, which is Christ Jesus. Of a truth, his godhood and his manhood, that we may walk in the powers, the glory, the prophetic revelation of the Son, the Father, and the kingdom. Now, if you're not interested in all that, do it anyway, because it's a good walk to walk. But if you are interested in it, do it with a passion. Cry out to him, fast and pray. Give me the revelations of yourself, of the Son, of the Spirit, of the kingdom, of this new life you're calling us into, Father. Give us revelation of the things that only you can reveal. So he calls us down this path, this new and living way. And as we walk down this path, life is springing up like a fountain within, if we're walking it in the life of the Spirit. Through prayer, through study of the Word, through love, through faith, through humility, which means we're not here to glorify self. We're here to glorify Christ. Humility that will provoke us to do whatever we are asked to do at any given time by his strength, his grace, his Spirit, allowing him to, in a greater and greater way, develop this benevolent relationship, spirit to spirit, with us. By this new and living way which he has consecrated for us, he has set it aside for us. He has consecrated it for us, meaning it's a path worthy to walk. Because he has consecrated this path himself by the blood of his Son. No one else can consecrate this path. No devil can steal this path from you because your eyes are opened in the light down this path. So, where it is darkness all around, where you walk, it is light. Because he's consecrated it for us. And it is the path that gets us into, or gets us through, better word, through the veil, into the Holy of Holies. Through the flesh of his Son, Jesus Christ. So here we have the blood of Christ, the Spirit of Christ, and the flesh of Christ offered by our Father out of love to bring us to a place of consecration that we can have all things in God. And Christ willing to pay this price, does so in the sheer joy of the fruit of his suffering. He looks to, reaches out to, holds the bride in his arms with perfect right, legal and divine. because he can consecrate us in such a way Satan cannot stop, no matter what he does. Early on in my Christian walk, I know I only have a few more minutes, so we'll have to pick this up maybe next week, hopefully. But in the early days of my walk, I don't even think I was a year old. In the very early days, I so desired to see how the Lord saw me because, like probably most of you, I didn't like the way I saw me. So I would pray, what has happened in me? What can I look at to know that I can always come before you and always be pleasing in your sight? And I found myself immediately standing before the throne of Jesus Christ. He was sitting there. He was so regal, so noble, so tender. It was just an amazing place to be at that moment. Suddenly, I saw two of me, and I was in both of me. So I'm standing there, myself, in myself, able to see within through his eyes. When he showed me the first, it was the way I look. I looked without the blood covering. And that person looks, you know the scripture in Isaiah that says that our flesh is, our righteousness is as filthy rags. And that's what I look like. Filthy rags. I just fainted within myself. I thought, how can he bear to look at this? If this is the way I look at him, if this is the way I look to him, how can he bear to look at this? This is so sad. This is so sorrowful. What do I do? I'm thinking this as I stand before his throne. And then he said to me, Nita, look. And he pointed at my other person. Suddenly, I'm there, alive in this new tent, you might say, this new tabernacle. But this time, when I looked within, I was like a brilliant light of glory. It was so beautiful. I don't think there's a place on earth that can compare to the beauty that I saw. And I looked at him. I was just, remember, I'm a babe in Christ. But I looked at him and I said, how can this be? And then he made the two one. He said, what I showed you is that which needs my cleansing, needs my workmanship. But you're not to fear that. You're not to concern yourself with it until such time as I convict you over these various issues. Then you must allow me to take them, let them go, and let me impart myself to you. This other being is the way I see you through my blood and my righteousness. Your righteousness is as filthy rags, he says, but my righteousness makes you this person that I just let you experience to me. It is the glory of my righteousness that enables me to look at you as one who has been perfected. So I see both the work that needs to be done and the work that's been done. And because of the work that has been done through my sacrifice, my life, you are ever beautiful to me. I was astounded. I was astounded. I don't know how else to say that. He sees both at the same time. And the only reason he looks to the other is to remind himself what he needs to extract. It's not to judge us. It's not to remind himself, well, I should have expected this. Nothing of that sort. He just knows what he's going to clean up so that my heart can be united in him and separated from the world. And I think we're going to have to stop there. And hopefully next Friday I can share some more on this. But I want you to know you are accepted in the Beloved. God sees you through his Son. It's his blood running through your veins. It is his righteousness that covers you. It is the beauty of his heart that he sees within you. And this is what he's working on to develop, to strengthen, until he has you in actuality walking in this place of beauty and glory. Think about that this week. Meditate on it. Think about it a lot. And thank him every day for what he's done. Thank you so much. Now, what we'll do is go ahead and pray. I think John said that Ricky is the next person online. So we'll have her come forward and lead us in prayer. Then at the end of the night, I will lead in prayer and we'll close. Thank you for being with us, and I hope that what we're trying to give to you will strengthen you in your love for him, your love for his righteousness, and the enjoyment of all that he wants to do in and through you.